Secret friends, unite!
Welcome to the Secret Friends Unite podcast, episode 472. This is your guide to the geek side, and I'm one of your hosts, the reigning champion of the Summer Mover Wager, Todd Oxtra.
Oh, for now, we'll see. There's a lot of ups, a lot of downs, a lot of sideways. But yeah, we'll be joined at the end of the show by our Summer Movie Wager secret friend, Mr. Jonathan Sears. So there'd be a little surprise coming up here later in the show.
I'll never leave you, Todd.
You're
always
lying.
Always be your favorite. If anyways, that's the voice. For those who are not watching on YouTube, that's the voice of Shizor, our
come
trophy
home.
From the contest. I
come
own him this
to Grand Rapids.
And he's never leaving.
He is. Well, you're right in the middle, so he's either going east or west, or he's staying put. We will see what...
If I can't have him, no one can. He's going to go into a landfill.
Oh, my gosh. You'll set him on fire. Give him a Viking funeral out back of your house. Exactly. A little puddle. There you go. Oh, my goodness. Well, hey, welcome, everybody. Lovely to see you or to have you see us. But we'd like to kick off every program before we get into talking about all this geeky stuff by giving some homage to the wonderful people over on our Secret Friends Unite Patreon. That is the spot where you can get ad-free shows, in addition to being able to find us over on YouTube podcasts as well for audio, but also video, which if you're watching, you get to see all the beauty of Todd's back room and his cords, and way in the distance is all his geek stuff. We like to give some love out to the folks that are making it possible for us. On the Friends with Benefits level, Mr. John Sedorf, the awesome Phoenix Sisters cosplay, great ladies, Brendan Myers, Corey in HD, and Matthew Keel, our top folks at the BFF level, the awesome Nias family out there in the Twin Cities, Sean, Stella, and Henry, and your friend and my friend, Missy Merchant. So we are grateful to you for your patronage. Please visit Secret Friends Unite over at Patreon, or rather should I say patreon.com/Secret Friends Unite. Get a great 7-day free trial. Check out all of our awesome content, including a show about comics that Todd and I do called The Spinner Rack, where we break down a selection of a comic story, or a fun show that I do called The Facts of Geek Life, where myself and a guest take a classic series, a season of that series, and talk about a handful of episodes and have a rocking good time. So again, patreon.com/Secret Friends Unite, free 7-day trial. And as Arnie gave us that immortal line in Predator, if you like what you hear, stick around. Or Sully, I'll kill you last. Whichever one grabs you. I just watched that Commando a couple weeks ago. It really does not hold up.
Yeah. So Charlie... In this week's We Got This Covered,
ooh,
a new
my.
Comic coming from October 24th, 1974, Charlie.
A couple of weeks after my brother was born, and on October 7th of 1974. My goodness. But yes, what do we got?
The Invincible Iron Man, which I don't remember, you know, if that just went away, but, you know, you get those comics where they have the superlative
right
in front of it.
I feel like it was, this comic started, it was funny. You know, I have my superpower is I remember dates and years. So Iron Man was one of those comics that started a little later on. The character existed, but he got his own solo title in 1968. So at this point, it had been going on for about 6 years, and I feel like it was the Invincible Iron Man when it started, but I could be wrong. So anyway, he's in a dilly of a pickle in this situation. So we have some heritage, very 70s looking villains. You got Iron Man himself in his classic yellow and red, which was probably his longest running armor. It's not what we obviously saw in the movies, but he's getting zapped. And his armor is melting. What? You get a thought bubble coming out of his chrome dome. My armor can't take this punishment much longer. Who'd have thought Iron Man would die at a comic book convention? What? That was funny because it was the
early 70s. How we all want to die at a comic book convention?
It was the early 70s when we saw San Diego Comic-Con just celebrated its 50th anniversary. The very first Star Trek convention was in New York City in 1973, so right around this time. So that's when our culture finally started to pull together and gather in the great spirit of commerce. And then, of course, you know, it's an institution where there are comic conventions that happen all over the world and all over the country. So, but anyway, yeah, he's getting zapped. And closer to the bottom of the cover, we get the big box with all the exclamation points. Whiplash, the Melter, the Man Bull. Oh boy, that's not a good one. Together, you can call them Death Squad in black, in a black burst with white letters. If you gravitate all the ways over to the right, there is a bubble with an arrow pointing up that says "Extra: The Maddening Menace of Black Llama." Is Black Llama the guy with the big sword? What's the llama part? I'm missing out on that. How does that outfit scream llama?
It doesn't, Charlie. It's the Black Llama is an extra dimensional mystic who attempted to set Earth's leading super criminals at war with one another.
Ooh, he's a chaos goblin. He's like Q from Star Trek.
And this wasn't even his first appearance. His first appearance was in Iron Man 53. So he's a meddler. He keeps showing up.
He was a returning villain. He's like Mr. Mixel Plixic. Because wasn't that what that guy did? He just showed up to kind of screw things up?
Pretty much, yeah. Just there for shits and giggles and would cause troubles and, you know, riddles and things like that. We get that with some people. But what I love about this, Charlie, this book, other characters included Mandarin, Sunfire, Yellowclaw, Ultimo, Stark employees, and then you've got Roy Thomas, Mike Fitterich, Tom Orzechowski, Frank Brunner, Milton Caniff, Charles Schultz, and Bob Foster. I mean,
what a sausage party. Where's the chicks, man?
Well, it's hilarious because
Charles Schultz for the Peanuts.
This would be a great Comic Con to go to. You got Charles Schultz. You can see you've got Milton Caniff, who made Steve Cannon and I think Flash Gordon. And then you've got these Marvel writers and artists. Yeah.
Gotcha.
It's hilarious. I like that. The fact that 74, you know, comic book convention, like you said, so early in its day and actually got presented in a comic. That's kind of cool because then people are like, there's a comic book convention? And then I probably started thinking about,
And it was just, it was 3 or 4 years after this that we got the Marvel team-up issue where it was Spidey teaming up with the cast of the first year of Saturday Night Live. Or the first cast of Saturday Night Live, and he had to fight the Silver Samurai because the Silver Samurai's ring had been mailed to John Belushi from a fan, and the Silver Samurai was going to have to kill him. So John Belushi puts on the Samurai Deli and fights him. You've read the issue.
Was it truly him, though? Wasn't it like some I can't remember. Wasn't it like a facade? It really wasn't the cast.
I feel like I read the issue recently. So, all right. Excuse me. All right. Well, with that, someone who was around for, if I'm not mistaken, the first comic book convention, the first Star Trek comic convention, and was in the studio audience of that episode of Saturday Night Live where Spider-Man stepped up. That would be our own senior news correspondent. She was in her 70s when all this stuff happened too, because she is, of course, now 124 years young, but she lives out in California these days. The warm weather is easier on those old bones of hers, but our Madam Web is down at the corner of Hollywood and Vine with the latest news and scoops for us. So let's go.
Now it's time for Madam Web's rumors and news. Take it away, boys.
Thank you, Madam Web. I believe Madam Web was actually, Charlie, the creator of cosplay. She actually ran out of laundry. So she dug into her previous costumes and negligees and created the character of Mrs. Potato Head. That's who she was.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that potato bag, it worked. And, you know, you can all thank her for your cosplaying antics.
All those interchangeable parts. Well, we're going to be talking in the Thunderdome about the summer movie challenge. And I get the feeling this one will probably be pretty close to the top for you, John, and myself. But we got a new trailer for Deadpool and Wolverine coming out still kind of inexplicably at the end of July. I'm sure there's a reason. I'm sure we probably talked about it at some point. I'm sure we didn't do any research before I'm talking about this right now, which is why we don't know. But we got a new trailer. So a final trailer, as you will. And we have this nice little article, which is running down some of the new Easter eggs. And of course, I've watched analysis videos. I usually watch Screen Crush. I usually watch New Rock Stars with Eric Voss. I do like those YouTubers because they really dig in. Todd, we need some of that money. We need to start analyzing things and get a guy to make videos for us. That's where the dollars are, man. No? Don't have time.
I mean, I'm sure it is. We need an intern, Charlie. We need an intern.
We do need an intern. we need an unpaid emphasis on unpaid intern.
There's got to be someone in your SFI group, maybe, that you can like a lowly ensign who needs some jobs to do.
Right. Absolutely not a conflict of interest that I would be getting free labor off some kid in one of our chapters. Oh, so anyway, when the trailer's kicking off, we see a very typical scene of Logan drinking at a bar. This would be obviously Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, and Deadpool pops up in his typical fashion. And this is where we get they're having a little bit of a verbal sparring, and Deadpool pulls out his gun. We get our first Easter egg, which is at the end, at the end of the muzzle. It says in beautiful script, written in white, "Smile and wait for the flash." To which Logan sees that, and he smiles and leans his forehead against the end of the gun, and that's the beginning of the cold open of this trailer.
Kill me now. Yes.
Kill me now. Yeah. Because we learn as the trailer goes on that this, you know, we're dealing with the TVA because we see them throughout this trailer. We got a good hint of that in the first trailer. But obviously, Deadpool shenanigans at the end of his last film, where he was playing with Cable's Time Turner, made him a target of the TVA. So they come to acquire him, which is how it gets things rolling. And we find out this Wolverine is not the Wolverine, obviously, that we know from Logan, who died. But in whatever universe this Logan lived in, he clearly was the massive big fail that led all the rest of his people to die. And that is hinted about by Tom from Succession is the TVA guy, I think. Wasn't that his name? Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, it's very similar to like Logan. I mean, we know what happened to Logan, too. But this is obviously now. I'm assuming Logan is being kept away. They don't want to touch that because obviously that movie's very near and dear. But right. This could be, once again, kind of mirroring that where something went wrong. We don't know. And he doesn't want to keep going. But he can't die.
Right. Right, right. Now we get we roll through some other things that we've seen. The in one of the battlefields where they're fighting, there is a portion of the 20th Century Fox logo as a piece of rubble, which is cool. I think we saw that back at the Super Bowl trailer. Wolverine suit. We're finally getting the classic yellow and blue. No mask though. The only mask we've ever seen was in a deleted scene from Fox. The Wolverine. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, and in 2013.
Yeah, he has sleeves in this one, though. He has sleeves in this one, but
he's got sleeves for a bit, then he doesn't. So the thought process is, do his arms get severed and they grow back? That's why he doesn't have sleeves? And he saves the gloves because he's wearing gloves in both. But yeah, the big question is what happened to Wolverine's world? And it's kind of underscored as you see Logan just in a white shirt and in jeans walking through a big gray sky in a wheat field and nothing but these like Stonehenge looking like columns that go off endlessly. So are these like huge tombstones for the dead X-Men? I guess we will find out. That's a kind of a Genosha-y kind of thing. Obviously, if you're watching X-Men 97 right now, that's very key. So, but yeah, it's very meta. We get a great, Deadpool asking Wolverine, hey, what went wrong? Or should we wait for a third act flashback? Because that's, again, very, very typical. Yeah, got to do it. So Todd, as our guys are doing their cool guy walk from right to left in this streetscape scene, what is the standout sign that we see? What does it say?
It says Liefeld's Just Feet, which is a shout out to Rob Liefeld, the infamous X-Men illustrator. And you know, basically his inability to draw feet. He loves, though, to draw pockets. Lots of pouches, big guns
big
that don't make any sense
on men,
lots
and women,
lots of big teeth, and chests that men should never have.
Like me, I'm very barrel chested. I wonder what Liefeld could do with me. Give me bigger boobs, Liefeld.
I think that's your Captain America costume, Charlie.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Captain Motorboat. Yes, absolutely. Oh, my gosh. So it's right around this time we do meet Cassandra Nova, who I didn't know much about the character. But again, watching Screen Crush and then watching New Rockstars with Eric Voss, that she is an Xavier. Like, she was not a clone, but his twin of some kind, at least in some
twin
universe.
Born in vitro. Yeah. Xavier feels like she's going to be evil. He tries to kill her, and essentially her essence escapes, and she forms, and she becomes a badass, essentially.
Nice. Yeah, and she's got a very, ancient one, Tilda Swinton from Doctor Strange kind of look about her, but the actress's name is... I was here and then it's gone. It was somebody that I'm not super aware of. But anyway, we'll get back to that later.
Yeah, yeah. I think she's a great foil. And she was really introduced in the new X-Men series by Grant Morrison. Really so cool run, really reinvented the X-Men. So she was one of those key things that they created from it. Yep.
Gotcha. And we get a great one. There's the big establishing shot in this next one. And those videos I was referring to went through the foreground and picked out all the little Easter eggs of the guy standing around. But there is a giant skeleton of Giant Man, Ant-Man being Scott Lang. That is the fortress of Cassandra Nova. And as they have this big long establishing shot of the helmet come out and her walking out of the skeleton mouth, we're seeing Lady Deathstrike. We're seeing Azazel. We're seeing, I think, who else do we see? Pyro, all from the X-Men films.
Yeah. Yeah. I love this. And, you know, I think the interesting part about this is, we're probably going to get another trailer that'll probably have some more big reveals. Cause I feel like we're getting only reveals from certain parts of the movie so far, which is fine. They want to leave a lot of stuff to the imagination, but yeah.
Sure. See the movie.
Yeah, exactly. Yet, like, you know, Deadpool's known to have like lots of versions of himself. So like Dogpool, Lady Deadpool, Gwenpool,
That was a fun book. I remember reading some issues of Gwenpool. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's cool. But anyway, yeah, again, inexplicably coming out on July 26th. Dear listeners, if you're listening, drop us a line and remind us why it's coming out on July 26th. We're cracking open the mailbag again, secretfriendsunite@gmail.com. Or certainly hit us up on Threads or in our Discord, because I just don't remember. Though I probably could look it up, but I think it'd be more fun to hear from one of our listeners. So
absolutely.
Absolutely. Cool. All right. So what do we got next? You're killing me. You put this in our flow like an hour before. So I watched maybe a half of these trailers.
And that's
I don't have enough time to watch all these trailers. You're killing me.
No, that's fine. Because this article I thought was great because essentially the heart of the Den of Geek articles is basically great movie trailers that were better than the actual movies. And I was thinking about that. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, I've felt that way where like, oh, the trailer is awesome. And then the movie is just like, what the hell was that? Same thing. I've seen bad trailers for great movies like Fight Club. Fight Club, horrible trailer because you don't really feel like it conveys a movie. So on both sides track. So there's a list of movies here that, quite honestly, I've not seen all these movies either. So I would not be the one to judge if the trailer is good or bad. But I thought, Charlie, we just pick a couple of these. You could pick a couple. I could pick a couple. And then we could go from there. So we start off with King Kong 1976. I've never seen this movie.
Watching this, I realized I hadn't watched it either. But the talent in this movie, you have I caught right away and had to have April look it up. But Rene Auberjonois, who is Odo on DS9, is in this movie. Jeff Bridges starring, introducing Faye Dunaway. But I do love that it is billed as the greatest film of all time in the trailer. So Todd, how could we have not seen the greatest? Yeah, the greatest film of all time. Yeah, Charles Grodin. There's a name you don't. Didn't he get himself canceled over something?
Seems like the type of guy. I mean, but yeah, great cast, and it just seems like the movie did not live up to what it wanted to do because of the special effects needed. I mean, animatronics at the time, it just did not work, and not a great script, and also not a very good director. So, but cool. Yeah, I mean, you'll believe an ape can climb the Empire State Building.
You'll believe an ape can fly if you shot out of something. Exactly. Yeah, no, I watched the first half, but man, The Dark Crystal was a great trailer, but it was also a great flick, but it was so seminal to our youth. Yeah. But I think they really gave you a lot of punch without necessarily pulling you into, well, this is really the struggle of blah, blah, blah. This night you just saw a lot of creatures. You saw a lot of, you know, the big castle and all this different stuff, the crystal shard flying through the air like somebody chucked it. I think they nailed it, and it did make me want to see the movie. Versus, I'll pick out back to back with that, the worst one that I watched was the one for Magic, which is just the talking ventriloquist dummy that at the end of
Anthony
it says,
Hopkins,
and starring all these people. I'm like, well, then where are they in this trailer? Because you just got this creepy goddamn dummy. Oh, yeah, that was scrolling through, obviously, I see some of these other movies. Like, I know that the trailer for The Phantom Menace, Star Wars Episode One, blew everybody's mind because it was the first Star Wars movie in a great number of years. Yeah, it was huge.
And you saw these images.
It made you go see Wing Commander. Yeah.
And it made Commander. And you're like, this is different than anything I've ever seen with Star Wars before. I mean, the way things looked. And I'm like, wow, they're really doing something unique here. And then, yeah, I saw the movie and I'm like, oh, Jar Jar Binks and lots of racial stereotypes and kids, too many kids.
And I'll be seeing it this weekend simply because I want to see a Star Wars movie on the big screen. So I'm seeing it next Sunday.
Yeah, because they'll never do that again.
No, never. No, I'm just now we have to play the waiting game with anniversaries. So it'll be the 25th episode. Yeah, two.
It's always an anniversary with Star Wars, Charlie. Always an anniversary. I would say Godzilla. I mean, when that 1998 movie came out, you know, I think a lot of people were so excited about it. You know, the big blockbuster film, and you know, we're in like the Men in Black era, and you know, disasters. Right.
Or the Wild Wild West, which is another one.
Yeah, and then this movie just laid a turd. I mean, they had Taco Bell ads for it everywhere. And
Godzilla turd, and the main army guy was Matt from Melrose Place, and you had
Godzilla Hank babies
running around in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Godzilla babies was just looked like Velociraptors, so it was just a kind of a riff on that as well.
Wild West, Charlie. Holy crap.
Wow. That's one I don't feel like I've seen again. I don't know, because I watch bad movies as part of the Patreon segment. So, let me ask you this. Which one of these would you recommend as a future installment of our Patreon that my wife and I do, Bad Trip to the Movies with the Cardens? What's the worst movie on here?
Oh boy, that's a good question. So this one, I have heard that this essentially is one of the worst movies ever made, Exorcist 2.
Right, that trailer, and James Earl Jones is in that movie.
I know.
But yeah, all it is what sounds like a crazy 70s pop song. And then you're like, oh, look how sexy, you know, what's her face? I was going to say the girl's Blair Underwood. No, it's Linda Blair. Linda Blair, I mean, she's very foxy lady, but yeah, just all there's all the screaming and the guy falling on the bed of spikes, and there's a lot of weird shit going on in this trailer.
Yeah. So I would recommend that one, Charlie. Yeah, this movie is like trying to still be like a prestige film, big names, and just but did not have anybody, believe, from the first film really involved, except for Linda Blair.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. All right. So, the real bait and switch here. And again, it really torpedoed my movie bracket back in 2022, but Thor Love and Thunder, I thought, oh, this is going to be a crazy romp. It's going to be so much fun. And like it says here, rapid fire cracks, and back and this and that, and looked like it was going to be fun. And, you know, Thor, that what the hell was the previous one? Ragnarok was such a blast. Yeah. And the Guns N' Roses song, and you're like, this is going to be fantastic, and it simply was not.
I enjoyed it, but yeah, it went too deep into the, we're just going to be silly and goofy, but here's cancer.
Here's cancer.
And here's cancer. Thor babies, and Asgard babies, and but, you know, I still enjoyed it, but yeah, it definitely was a letdown.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right. So any other big insights into this before we move on?
Well, I will say Man of Steel, once again, got my heart excited. I'm like, wow, they're really going to nail this. And then basically kind of a snoozer, no superpowers used, real estate deals with Lex Luthor and then Superman Kid. And yeah, big whiff.
Well, this one was a trailer for Man of Steel. Yeah, and again, yes, Man of Steel, that's a movie that you and I famously, against the grain, really kind of enjoyed. But yeah, you were talking about Superman
Returns
in 06, yes, which we both still kind of like. But yeah, it was really felt like just another take on Superman 78.
Correct. It was too precious to
the land swindle, but then it got a little dark, and then you had the super bastard, his baby
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, it was just, it was a little too far. And it, you couldn't really tell if it was continuation, even though everybody had been recast and blah, blah, blah. I just really didn't necessarily know what was going on. So anyway.
But Man of Steel, I did really
Man
like.
Of Steel.
The trailer was great. I think the third chapter or the third sequence of the movie, I think, is where it kind of left a lot of people.
The third act, yeah.
Yeah, it became
a punch fest. It's just smashy smash, and then he has to kill his opponent to save the day, and yeah, there's no fun. So
it's the tone for everything after that.
I guess, and we just saw how great that went. Yeah. All right, well, Free Comic Book Day is coming up. Todd, are you going to partake?
I think so, because our old comic book shop, they have moved now, and they moved into the mall, which is very near us, which is very odd. But I want to go visit that shop, and I've been a big fan of Comic Book Day because ultimately it's just a great way to really help the stores by buying things when you're there, but also a good way to figure out what's coming. What big events are coming. So we do have a list of those comics, and it's really used to be tied to like a comic book movie, but there isn't one this year until, like I said, July 28th. So
We ain't got one. So yeah, I will make the round. I will start at Argos, which has always been my home shop. But we'll probably visit our friends Gavin Deanna over at Tardy's, cause they always do. And they do a nice sale, and I'd love to support them cause I like them. It'll probably be just those two because there are other shops in town, but there's some shop owners I don't get along with, so I'm not gonna go give them money or my time. But I'm flying solo. April is on a business trip, actually traveling all day Saturday to get home, which sucks just because of the timing of when meetings wrap up. She's in Seattle this week and traveling home, so I won't see her till about 8 o'clock on Saturday night. So I'm doing Free Comic Book Day all by myself, but. I'm excited. I know there is a Transformers G.I. Joe coming out. There's the Ultimate Universe Spider-Man number one, which I don't know if that's the same book I was talking about last week or if it's even something different. But I know there's a Star Wars one coming out that I'm kind of excited about. That's kind of a big deal, or at least I thought there was. I'm looking at this and I'm looking for it. I don't know if it's in the silver books. Do you see it? Am I crazy? Yeah, there we are. Marvel Star Wars Silver Books number one. So that's fun.
Okay.
What's John? And again, this listing we have is all script, not pictures. So what? I know what's your big grab on this that excites you?
Good question. There's going to be a Hellboy Stranger Things book from Dark Horse Comics, which I do enjoy those. Nice. There's also the new Ultimate Universe Spider-Man, which I wanted to check out. So that will
Well, that's what I was asking. I didn't know if it was the one that I started
it might be, or it might just be an overview of the Ultimate Universe as a whole, kind of like the background. The Blood Hunt is going to be a big event this summer, so I want to check out and see what's going to go with that. But then with that, I mean, you do get like other types of books that are mixed into here, including Gatchaman, which is it's an old school anime called Battle of the Planets. Charlie, I don't remember that. Watched it as a kid.
Oh yeah. Didn't they have the big horned helmets and the big capes like Batman?
They had the vehicle that kind of turned into the Phoenix. So that was called, it's called Gatchaman in Japan, and it's called
Never
Battle of the
Planets.
Never
made that connection.
Yep.
That's awesome. Yep. Yeah,
there's a new Flash Gordon book, which could be kind of fun to read. Doctor Who, there's a Street Fighter book. So I think that's the fun. It's just seeing what's out there, reading it, and see if something captures your imagination. And then, of course, the comic book shops buy these. So if you take a bunch, buy something. Is always.
And I will. Like I said, I will. Now that I thought of it, there's a third shop on the north end of town here called Comic Signal that I've been with that guy since he started, but it's far enough away that I don't pass by it. But I will make an effort to go up there and support him. And so maybe if I make a commitment, I'll try to buy something at each shop. I'll feel like I'm putting back into the community. You know what I mean? So, absolutely. So that's where I'm going. So yeah, if you live in Grand Rapids, or anywhere in West Michigan, that was Argos, Tardy's Comics, Collector's Corner, and the Comic Signal. So those are my three recommended shops here in Grand Rapids.
Yep. There is a homepage, freecomicbookday.com. If you go there, you can basically find a shop and they'll tell you if they are going to be doing it or not. Cause not all stores participate. So just do your due diligence.
I think it would be weird to go into a shop on Free Comic Book Day and find them not doing it. But you know what? It's happened.
Some are weird too. They don't get many issues either, and then they get freaky about it. But issues needed comics near me. I believe they'll be doing it. I don't see the shop I was going to go to listed here, but I will see if they are.
Give them a ping on socials. Yeah, before you do so.
But yeah.
Well, cool. All right. Well, moving right along. Oh, goody! Rosemary's Baby needs a prequel. What's a prequel to a baby? Rosemary's Prenatal Vitamins? Well, but there's going to be a prequel movie called Apartment 7A on Paramount Plus, which means you can either, which if you watch it or you don't, you've lost nothing because you probably already have Paramount Plus if you're like me. So, Todd, I hadn't seen Rosemary's Baby until, I swear it was when April and I were together. So it was within the last 10 years. But what's your experience with this book? Obviously, it's a masterclass in psychological horror.
Yeah, I've never seen it. I've seen so many clips of it. I mean, the funny part is Roman Polanski directed this, and he's a creepo. He's been excommunicated out of the United States, and if he comes back to the United States, he will be arrested for some crimes. I mean, it's one of those classic movies where it's like it's called Rosemary's Baby, but the baby doesn't even come until like the end of the movie. So you never get to see the baby, right?
I believe you get a silhouette because it's whole, you know, and Todd, I won't even talk too much about it because I think you should watch it.
It's something I want to watch.
Yes, it's from the late 1960s and you might say, it's potentially a little passe. But still, you know, the end of it, you get the big reveal, which is not too hard to figure out where things are going. And it's Mia Farrow, who was the muse of Woody Allen from our comic book cover last week. Wasn't that last week? Before he got himself canceled over the whole thing he did. So this is out in October, again, called Apartment 7A, a prequel to seeing how things are going, you know, and they'll find something freaky to do. But again, Todd, I have dissimilar feelings than you do about prequels. It's rare that they get it right. And it's in some ways a lot of lazy storytelling. But Julia Garner, who is Ruth from Ozark, who doesn't know S about F, that was one of her most famous sayings. And she was just in some movie we watched, and she was cast as a Silver Surfer in the upcoming Fantastic Four movie.
Shalabal!
Yes, she is the star of this film, and she is delightful, little dandelion head, perpetual young-looking young lady. If she's in it, I feel like this will, because Paramount Plus is probably 60% of things that I watch from Paramount Plus. I'm sure I will scroll by it and be like, oh, look, there's Ruth, boop, and watch it.
Yeah, it's very interesting because there apparently was a sequel book to Rosemary's Baby by the original author called Son of Rosemary, which is about the baby. But this one is about it's a prequel to Rosemary's Baby where it's focusing on the apartment in 1965. And so I assume there's not a lot of details about the story, but essentially it's going to be maybe about the husband and how he gets involved in the cult.
Gotcha.
That he lived in the apartment. Maybe there's the cults within the apartment. I'm guessing that's where they're going to go and how it all comes to
just
be.
In the apartment. Oh, they're exactly. They're over there in the walk-in. He's in the pantry. Just the cult's just in the pantry. Like in the Ghostbusters movie, how the grandma had a back room that was the big shrine. So that's what it is. Little nooks and crannies, weird nooks and crannies in New York apartments.
We'll see how this goes. Let's see. Do we have a release date?
It hits this year. It says in October.
Halloween. So yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see how this goes.
Exactly. We shall see that. Well, all right. Well, that takes us out of the news. Todd, it's time to get out that Fuber app, that feeble Uber app. Before we get to our big movie preview, we always do pay a visit to the skeeviest joint in town, down in Skuggville, nasty town. We call that the Geek Easy, but as we get into the car and the guy turns on the radio, it's time for this ad.
Hey, Secret Friends Unite, let me tell you about Zencastr. We use them for our show, and now they're supporting us. Zencastr is now the all-in-one solution making podcasting easy. It's the ultimate web-based podcasting solution. It provides high-quality audio and video podcast production and hosting. With a full suite of professional tools, podcasters can seamlessly record, produce, and publish studio-quality content all from one dashboard. Being a creator has never been easier. And we chose Zencastr because of the ease of use, high quality output, and it makes it super easy for our guests to come on. We had multiple solutions we tried before, and Zencastr has just been the best fit for us. Why Zencastr? It's now super easy to record a podcast with Zencastr. Log in using your browser and start recording a high-quality podcast right away. Record studio-quality sounds and up to 4K video with your guests. Feel a sense of Zen knowing Zencastr's multi-layered backups ensure you always have your recordings in the highest quality, even if the connection is unstable. Have you ever worried what you sound like? Zencastr's post-production process makes you sound buttery smooth. It automatically removes those ums and ahs in your recording. It removes those awkward pauses in conversation too. Set the right podcast loudness and levels while reducing background noise with the click of a button. So if you're interested in making an easy, high-quality podcast just with the click of a browser button, go to Zencastr.com/pricing and use my code SFU1. You'll get 30% off your first month of any Zencastr paid plan. I want you to have the same easy experiences I do for all my podcasting and content needs. It's time to share your story. Now back to the show.
Talk nerdy to me. Talk nerdy to me.
We're sitting in the Geek Easy, cover bands playing, drinks are poured, and we are ready to get our nerd on. Well, I will start with something I watched that you did not, so then we can get into kind of like what we both watched.
Oh, all right. Very good. And we talked about this on the show last week or the week before, I think. We teed it up, yeah.
So Dead Boy Detectives is a new series set into the Sandman universe by Neil Gaiman.
And it airs where? I always like to put it in the show notes.
Netflix. So it's Netflix. All the episodes are okay. Out. This dropped on Friday on the 26th. And it is a fun series you can just jump right into because the premise is pretty simple. It's a fantastical series about these two dead boys who are ghosts who solve crimes for ghosts. And
wasn't that a Duran Duran song? Dead boys. No. Dead boys. No.
Close.
Okay.
Close.
Why not?
But you can call it that if you want.
I like it.
Both British characters. One was born in died in 1919. The other one died in 1989. So you've got a gap with them. So they're basically solving these mysteries. Neither of them, one escaped from hell, the other one has not passed over. So they're kind of like stuck and trying to find a way to pass on eventually. The crux of this gets interesting when a ghost asks them to solve a mystery with their friend, a friend of hers, who is a medium, who is essentially possessed by a demon. So they investigate.
Oh, no.
Yes, they investigate this medium can see ghosts. That's how she became ghosts with the friends with the one ghost that they hired him. And that's kind of where it kicks off because she eventually, I don't give too much away, but she becomes part of the trio. And I watched the first two episodes, and the first episode has kind of like an overall plot that is that's solves one part, but then you see where this is going to go with a second plot. Yep.
Right out the window.
Yep. It's got like some mysteries of, you know, the monster of the week type of thing, but it also has an overarching arch. It's got some really good actors involved in it. Even has the mother of Crowley from Supernatural as one of the characters. And part of the stakes place in the UK, but then it goes to the US, which is kind of fun, in Washington State.
And then they have to drive on the other side of the road.
Exactly.
This would be worth tuning into. I know that April enjoys this type of thing, particularly with the Supernatural spin. And so all episodes are out. So is that 8, 10, 6?
I think it's 8. And they do some really fun things with the way they move the episodes forward. They there's some funny moments, I will say, with a cat that I find highly enjoyable. And the kind of the main big bad, as I would say, She's a fun actress. I don't know where she's from. I'll have to look her up eventually, but I love what she's doing, what she's going for. And the leads are great. The second episode has a fun turn of expectation, which I really enjoyed as well. My wife is really into the series. She's really glommed onto it. She loved The Sandman. And there is a crossover with one character from Sandman, but you don't have to watch it. They're completely separate.
Is it Jay Sherman, the critic? Or no, that it was on The Simpsons.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I think if you're interested in this type of thing, it's more episodic and has, I think it's a lot of fun. It's a good show just to get into Supernatural. And I think it's a lot of fun. So check out Dead Boy Detectives. But then I've been doing some wrapping up some shows. I've got one episode of Shogun left. I'll finish that. There's some other things like X-Men 97 has probably got, three more episodes. So that's going to come to a close. So very busy. But the one thing I finally finished was Fallout Season 1.
Yes.
About 2 weeks, I think.
So much fun. Wow. Yeah. We when we fall into something and we've got we got that, we'll just crank through it. So we watched it almost right away. You've played the game. The game's been around for 25 years. It started as a board game, then it became video game. So have you played much?
So I have not played the two original video games. Computer. They're completely different. PC they really came back with Fallout 3. Then they did a game called New Vegas, which was
Fun
in Vegas. There's Fallout 4, which is the most, I would say, recent game, which you can play now. It's got updated. And then there's a Fallout 76 game, which is like a multiplayer online game. Amazon was even giving them away for free, which is kind of cool. But I wanted
some free shit. How did I miss out?
Well, it's Amazon Prime. If you go there, they have actually free games every month. So you just check it out there in your benefits, Charlie. And you can actually play some of them on their service called Luna, which is just a streaming service. You get your Xbox or PlayStation controller. Yeah. You play on your little TV, your computer screen. It's all streamed, and you can play it for free. So you can actually try it if you want.
That's on the regular PC, not on the unit, not on the console?
Nope. You can play it on PC. It's basically doing all the computing in the cloud, and you just play it on a screen.
In the cloud? Very interesting. Yep. Gotcha. Yep. All right. So Fallout... what are your thoughts? Spoilers, non-spoilers.
Spoilers, but obviously we're not going to break down the whole series. We're just going to
thoughts.
So I'd say if you've not watched or you haven't finished Fallout, I would say you come back in about 5 minutes and then we'll start on the next thing. But I would say if you're all curious, Fallout's great. It's got a great sense of humor. It's also a little bit gory. It's you don't have to watch the games at all or play the games at all just to jump right in and enjoy it. So there you go. Spoilers now. So Charlie, you're kind of new to this. You said you did enjoy it. Did it live up to it? I know some people said the series was kind of it spiked at the pilot and then it kind of came down, but then came up back up at the end. Did you feel like it delivered?
I mean, there's no doubt that it started with a bang in the first episode because it was, look, you got a visitor walking in your background. but no, it started with a bang, obviously, with the invasion and her father being kidnapped. And then she's launched on her big quest. I think it maintained throughout. I guess the stuff with the Brotherhood of the Seal with the big suits and stuff, I didn't care as much about that as I cared about watching Ella Purnell's character of Lucy or Goosey, if one-eyed Chris Parnell kept calling her.
So weird.
Yeah, I know. I love him. He's one of the best things SNL has had to offer in the last 20 years, I think. I enjoyed her story more than the other aspects of that. Wally Goggins or Walter Goggins is a national fucking treasure. That guy is great. So his role,
he's phenomenal
as the ghoul, was fantastic. As we wrap things up, we found out, there's way more to his story than we really thought. We'll find out about that as the show goes on, because it is going to be renewed. But yeah, I thought the parts of the story that were less interesting to me were the Brotherhood of the Steel, or whatever the hell the guy was, and their big, Robocop Iron Man suits. That didn't really wow me. I love the fish with all the fingers in its mouth. That was so pretty freaky. Sweet.
Yeah, and then finding another vault where they did the experiments, and these people that essentially have now come to a vault to live and exist. There were some weird things. I mean,
yeah,
that maybe didn't work with. It was like the Moldaver was a little weird with, like, we have to put ourselves in ashes to
put ourselves the in weird ashes cult to, thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the people who are frozen, and then one of whom turns out to be, big spoiler, won't say, because it kind of caps off the plot that's going to push things into the next season. But yeah, the big reveal about the Vault-Tec Corporation taking place in the past, which, again, I did the math on it, and I think even though things kind of look like the 50s, it's about 1975 when the series starts, when the bomb drops and stuff, even though things kind of look like the 50s, but the cars are slightly different, but they do have like robot maids and stuff. But again, this is a future where the Cold War never ended and the United States went broke fighting it. And Vault-Tec as a corporation took over and became more powerful. And then spoilers.
Yeah. I mean, they have black and white TV. So, I mean, it's, yeah. I just assume it's because it's really, there's no correlation to the time frames.
Yeah. So. They at least said, okay, well, it's so many years later. Yeah. And then at some point you see when she's going through and doing dates, she says, well, it's 2291 or something. So you could work it backwards. So it looked like it was for us, the 1970s, but yeah, time was frozen in the 50s. People were still, you know, dressing fancy and stuff. Not like they were doing in the 70s.
No hippies. Yeah. I'm still a little unclear about certain people that essentially have aged a little bit.
Yeah.
But I don't know how they are here in present time without the aging. Right. They didn't really explain that away. I mean, there are some people.
Yeah, you did see something that potentially could suggest that they were, maybe it was kind of like the Winter Soldier. They were frozen and thawed out and frozen again. You know, something like that. Because the other part of it is the amber formula that you get injected into that makes you immortal. But it also, if you don't keep taking it, you lose your mind and become a zombie.
Correct.
Here's my question. Walter Goggins' character, who is just called the Ghoul, or he's basically dressed like, you know, rawhide, like a cowboy, has his nose cut off. But if he takes this formula, why doesn't his nose grow back? Do you get to a certain point where you can't regenerate anymore? Or there's certain things that won't grow back?
Well, because
the kid who has his foot smashed when what's his face injects him with the stuff without the kid really knowing what it is, he just watches his mangled foot grow back together. Why doesn't that happen to Wally Goggins' face? Why does he look all leathery and with no nose? That's what
I'm
really
guessing. It's diminished returns over a period of time. Like they said, he's the longest one. Yeah. And you know, it's just like, you know, the cartilage is probably gone. So maybe it doesn't grow back. I don't know. But there's certain elements of this. It's, I'm curious when they're going to explain it. I think we're going to get, are we going to get more about Moldaver and how that all occurred, you know?
Yeah.
Because, we'll see where this goes. I'm curious what they do with season two. And spoiler, folks, Charlie, at the end, one of our antagonist sees New Vegas.
Yes, they did really tee it up. Yep. That will be the setting, and clearly that's an entire game in the series. So, well, good. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I look forward to more. But again, in the streaming world, if we see this next year, I would be surprised. So more likely 2026.
Yep, probably, I think so.
That we'll get another season, and hopefully it won't be like Halo, which
same company too. Microsoft owns both Bethesda, who is responsible for this, and also Halo. I know they're going to have some other things adapted eventually from their catalog. Yeah.
I would love it if we were done with Halo, because I slept my way through that second season.
Yeah, I don't know if that one's not been renewed for a third season, as far as I know.
I think that's a good choice. All right, moving on. I'll be relatively quick because we talked about that one. But I am on the early list at Simon & Schuster for their Star Trek book. So I got another one. I'm working on being better at reading these all the way through. But this latest one kind of grabbed my attention. This is by Heritage Star Trek writer Dayton Ward, who is a laundry list of books. This one is called Pliable Truths, which I think is that's kind of a What a cool name. But it's got a great cover. It is set in the very cusp of basically the early sixth season of Star Trek The Next Generation, immediately after the very famous two-parter Chain of Command, where we saw Picard tortured by a Cardassian officer played by David Warner. Todd, you know the episode I'm talking about. I'm sure you've seen it. But it is also synonymous with the launch of the Star Trek Deep Space Nine series. So you see the Enterprise coming to the Terek Nor mining station, which becomes Deep Space Nine. And I've only read the first two chapters, which were covered events happening at a Cardassian labor camp, not on Bajor, off-world. But it comes at the exact moment that the order for Bajor to be set free and the Cardassians to withdraw comes over to this camp prefect, and he says, we have sublevels under this planet of ours, and we're going to have to kill, instead of releasing all the workers here, we're going to have to kill them all to keep this a secret. And then that's as far as I got last night before I fell asleep. But the next chapter jumps into the Next Generation portion, which again, that was what really grabbed me. Some of the other books, I love all Star Trek, but TNG is really my sweet spot. So this one really sucked me in. So I look forward to reading this. And most books these days are 300, 350 pages. So you knock, you know, if you try to set aside an hour or so to read every night, you can probably read it in a couple of weeks. You know, yeah. I don't know. Todd, when was the last time you read a book and how long
last,
did it take
last
you?
Fall. It was the okay. October. It was that Halloween book.
Oh, okay. And how long was it? Was it like a novel?
It was about 100. Actually, it was a shorter book, about 200 pages.
Oh, okay. There you go. And you read it. How long did it take you to read it? Oh, 3 months.
Not very long. No, actually, it was like 3 weeks.
Oh, not bad. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, dear readers, I will finish this book, and I will. I'll be happy to talk about it on social media. And if you don't see me talking about it on social media, zap me. Because I'm over there on Threads, C3 Carpenter, and of course on our Discord, and of course secretfriendsunite.com at Gmail, secretfriendsunite@gmail.com. It's our mailbag. So say, hey Charlie, what's going on with that book? And I probably won't respond, but I still need the encouragement. So I've been talking for months about IDW and G.I. Joe. They do have the core title, which is being written by Larry Hama, which is kind of, you know what, maybe it's not as exciting as I was hoping. But these miniseries that they're doing, these five-issue miniseries, the first two that they've launched are Duke, which is what I'm going to talk about today, and Cobra Commander, which will end next month. Five-issue miniseries. Cool Easter egg filled new stories, new chronology. And this one was great. So it launched with Duke being this disgraced, top soldier in the, all of the United States Army, who had just had a break with reality because he watched a jet fighter transform into a robot and squish a guy, and he just lost his mind. So we followed him through this series while everybody's trying to kill him, while he seeks to uncover the fact that what he saw was reality. So in this, he has a final showdown with Destro, who is going to be a focus of one of the next miniseries, and a battle android trooper. But cool series that also gave us a glimpse of the Baroness. It really pushed Major Blood, who is a very minor character in the comics and then also in the cartoons, really into the limelight as being a top mercenary, which is what the character is supposed to be. It featured Rock and Roll and Clutch and Stalker and Colonel Hawk, not General Hawk, as a lot of the main protagonists, though not always the protagonist, because a few people are on his side the whole time, and some people are never on his side. But we get down to the end in a way that's going to propel us forward into the future of the series. So Duke is ending. Cobra Commander, which is a very wacky take that is all Cobra Law and Nemesis Enforcer.
Yes!
You should be reading this book. But that book is about Cobra Commander fighting through the swamps, and he has to fight the dreadnoughts, and it's really kind of crazy. You should tune into that book because it's weird, and weird is where you live.
Oh,
you
yeah, live I love with the G.I. Joe stuff. I'm all for the weird. Okay, yeah. So that is that all out now? You said Cobra will be out.
I just read issue 4. Our next two series, which I will subscribe to and they are made available to me, will be Scarlet and Destro. So that'll be 5 issues, and then who knows where it goes for that. So I like Larry Hama. I love his work. I've met the man. He's this side of John Byrne where he's grumpy, but he's not crazy. But his series is not really doing it for me the way that these miniseries are. That's where the heat is. So these are all available through Comixology, which is Amazon, which you will read on your Kindle. I highly recommend them because I think they're worth it. Or if you're a physical copy reader with New Comic Book Day coming up just a couple of days after you're listening to this, go there, ask your local news agent, as it were, hey, I really want to read the Duke and the Cobra Commander miniseries, and they will be able to hook you up with some copies. And I believe these are also going to be coming out in trade paperback form.
Reserve a copy of the trade, I'll have it for you.
Yeah, but yeah, no, that's a cool series. But yeah, not to put Larry Hama down because, again, his stamp, he invented most of these characters, really, so I'm not going to put him down. But the Heritage title, again, because I'm not, you know, I've read issues 1 through 55, 1 through 155, which is the classic Marvel series that ended in 1994. That continuity came back in like 2012, but I don't really know how you explain how it's the same characters and the same events if, you know, 20 years passed in between, nobody aged. But then those all disappeared. So I can't, I've tried to collect them bits and pieces, but I haven't really read what I've collected. And now I'm pulling bits and pieces of the series, but that series running forward is also very weird. There was a mutant bomb that went off on Cobra Island, and Dr. Mindbender and Serpentor, they're all mutants now. And there was a casino ship there. And so there's a bunch of weird zombies running around. It's just, I don't get it. But I love Duke and Cobra.
Sounds like G.I. Joe, Charlie. It sounds like G.I. Joe.
It's really kind of weird. But anyway, that's a wrap. So that takes us out of the Geek Easy. But get ready, because I'm going to get out my Air Qantas app. Got a super special trip to the Land Down Under planned. Hologram Tina is waiting for you and me and a special guest to talk about our summer movie preview. Let's go.
To another edition of Thunderdome!
Thank you, Tina! The mutants have been gathered for a topic or game to be entertained, and this week we're doing our summer movie preview.
Did you have a stroke? What kind of preview is it? Sumer. Sumer.
Sumer.
Sumer. Welcome to Sumer. Is that how they say it out there in Minnesota?
We're covering Sumerian cinema. So.
Oh, boy. This guy was very big in Sumerian.
Our summer movie preview.
Blurk.
Yes, the Swedish chef. Our summer movie preview and also our summer movie wager. And because of that, we've got a very special guest joining us for the segment, an original secret friend. That is Mr. Jonathan Sear, who we have been doing the summer movie wager for
2016, minus a year or two.
So this is year 8. And John and I and Charlie do this separately. And then we also open it up for a broader wager if there are people interested as well. So what we're going to do with this segment is really go through the big movies of the summer and maybe some that might be dark horses. And then we're going to go give our dark horse and top 10 picks. And we'll give you an overview of how we do that when we actually get to that part of the Thunderdome. So at this point, the summer movie season apparently is starting May 3rd with The Fall Guy. This is loosely based on the Lee Majors TV show with Heather Thomas. And it looks like a fun film with Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt.
And you said it's with Heather Thomas, but left out the guy who was the fall guy. Heather Thomas is who I was paying attention to.
Lee Majors. Heather Thomas. And then there was like a third buddy, and I don't remember what his name was.
Oh, there's always going to be. Was it kind of like who was the guy who was the sidekick in National Treasure? The third guy, Benjamin. Wasn't Nicolas Cage? Wasn't the it was the sidekick. Yeah, you got to have a sidekick. All right. I've been seeing the trailers for months. I think it looks like fun, but will it be successful? Only time will tell. All right, you want me to move on and just grab the next one or other thoughts?
Sure.
Is that how we're rolling?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, this one is likely to be in all of our brackets, but these titles just keep getting longer. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes on May 10th. This is continuing, and we've been talking about this for a long time, but continuing the saga launched by James Franco back in 2014 was that first movie, 2011, that gives us the genesis of kind of where Chuck Heston ends up when he returns to a planet filled with apes. So this is years and years after the end of the last film. So Andy Serkis's Caesar, who is the head ape, is not around anymore, but now there's kind of a new bag in town, and you're seeing more of them chasing around the people who can't speak, and it's a whole It's a whole ape-tacular scenario happening. But people love him.
Yeah, I feel like the Planet of the Apes for me and Jurassic Park are two of the same things where it's like, I was going to say I'm going to start watching these. Going to be like, but no, I'm not. I'm kind of tired of the premise because it's once again, it feels like it's, yeah, this one's better than the 71s, but it's still the same thing. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of exhausted by both this and Jurassic Park at this point.
I mean, Jurassic Park is first of all, there weren't any in the 70s. It's not a remake, but still, there's no point to Jurassic Park because the solution is kind of simple. Just don't go back. They're like, oh, we'll go back, but nothing bad's going to happen. And then eventually they bring all the dinosaurs to America, and that's at least a wrinkle, but yeah, anyway. So, John, where do you land with the planet of the land of the sideways apes or whatever?
I don't really land anywhere with them. I haven't seen any of them, so I just kind of...
Oh.
I know generally what their audience is, and you know, it's not me.
Yeah.
It peaked with Marky Mark and Abraham Lincoln.
Oh my God. No doubt about it. So,
yeah. Okay. We're going to go
all right, let's move on.
May 17th, Ryan Reynolds, Imaginary Friends, directed by John Krasinski. Big cast, Steve Carell, Matt Damon, Emily Blunt, Sam Rockwell, Richard Jenkins, Maya Rudolph, Awkwafina, and the late Louis Gossett Jr. This looks to be fine.
Yeah, I don't see it taking off. You know, I just don't. It didn't. Yeah, but yeah, it looks to be fine. I think that's pretty on the level. That's probably a pretty good way to describe it.
I mean, I think more so than anything, but I think Ryan Reynolds will bring his Reynoldsness to it.
Right.
But I think I'm going to get that fill in Deadpool and Wolverine.
Absolutely, no doubt about it. Oh, so Todd, you played willy nilly and you missed the next big one, which is your hit, Furiosa, a Mad Max saga, May 24. This has our shared girlfriend, I saw her first, Anya Taylor-Joy, as a prequel to Charlize Theron's Furiosa character, which we saw, and we watched it just recently, and actually I just listened to another podcast do a recap of this recently as well, so it's very much on my mind, but this is giving us the beginning story of the shaved head, black face covered one arm Furiosa.
No, not blackface, Charlie. It's not blackface.
No, okay. She's covered in grease. Her face is grease. What color is grease? It's not important. She has a grease face. Grease face. That's not racist, right?
Unless you're from Grease or your acne.
Oh, or the movie Grease. Grease is the word. Yeah, big hit. Duh. You know, I mean, Mad Max itself was in 2015. So it's been almost a decade, but still, big names. People love her. Lots of explosions. Again, driving around in a world where there's no gas, but all they do is waste gas. It's awesome.
How else are you going to get places? Come on. There's no all the animals are dead.
Right. That's why they don't have it. Well, if all the animals were dead, they'd have more gas.
Maybe. Yes, the dinosaurs. If the dinosaurs were all dead, they are. Yeah. John, did you watch Fury Road?
I did not see Fury Road.
Yeah.
I know it was a big hit. At least,
yeah.
But what'd you say it was? Was that like 9 years ago now? Like,
yeah, 2015,
mid-2010s, yeah,
yeah.
This one, I don't know, the Mad Max apocalyptic type movie things. I mean, they're not really my speed, but I might watch this one eventually. you know,
it could happen.
It's the Queen's Gambit playing battle chess. That's just kind of how I'm looking at it.
Wow, poetic.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of fun, although it's a prequel. Chris Hemsworth might bring the boys to the yard.
Oh, right.
Or the girls to the yard. I don't know. I mean, the last one did pretty well, but I don't know if this is going to be anybody's cup of tea, but I'm very excited for it.
Yeah, totally. Totally. All right. Here's Legacy sequel. Here we go. Yeah, last one was in 10 years ago.
Yeah, maybe? Quiet Place Day One, June 28th.
You know what? You skipped the one I was talking about.
Yeah, okay. I will hit the next one then. Bad Boys, Ride or Die, June 7th. The previous Bad Boys, for Life. That was actually the last big film before the pandemic.
Oh, there you go. It's about 5 years ago.
People can't get enough of Will Smith after he slapped.
Yeah, right. I watched these movies recently and very fond of the first one. I was in college. My best friend from high school, Louis, it's one of his favorite movies. And then it just kind of fell off a cliff. The next one came out like 7 or 8 years later and it was like, eh. And then there's one that you just mentioned, which was not streaming, so I didn't watch it again. And then now we have this one. But some reports I'm reading are saying that this is going to be huge.
Is Taya Leone in this one?
I don't know that she's still alive. I haven't seen her in a movie in forever.
That's the only Bad Boys movie I watched, was the one that she was.
Yeah. Right. Never showed up again.
I don't think she showed up again. Maybe they didn't ultimately protect her very well.
No. No. Well, yeah. I think after David Duchovny, I mean, she kind of went into hiding. So,
well, yeah, right. Wouldn't you? He's kind of scary.
This feels like a leftover vestige of the old, you know, buddy cop film that we really don't get anymore. So I don't know how much, I mean, there's a lot of nostalgia for this series now that it's, you know, over 20 plus years old. So I think this will do really well. They have a lot of chemistry. I think they're dumb, fun, Fast and Furious type movies.
I'm waiting for the reviews that say that this movie slaps.
Ah!
Hey-o! Nice. I will give that review right away. Well, Todd, what do we got next? It's more sequelitis.
Inside Out 2. Essentially, these movies are like almost 10 years apart. So it's not like you can say they've been milking this one to death. It's more of the same, but now Riley is actually getting older, and the existing emotions are kind of fighting off the new emotions of anxiety, envy, ennui, and embarrassment. So she can kind of, you know, just like any teenager, you start dealing with more stress. And so the old emotions are trying to balance it out. So I think this will be successful. I think Pixar may be in a renaissance going back it, but I don't know if it will be the number one movie this summer. But we'll find out. Yeah. I always like them. They're funny. And Amy Poehler's great.
No doubt about it. All right, let me keep scrolling until we get to, this is where you jumped way ahead. A Quiet Place Day One is June 28. It's a prequel again, and I do understand that because I've seen, have there been three? I think there have been two. This is the third one.
This is the third one,
okay, because I saw the second one, and although I have not rewatched it, and I probably should, they're probably both on Paramount Plus, if I'm not mistaken. Digimon Hanshu's character appears in that second film, and his appearance in this one is apparently some kind of continuity gaffe, but I didn't really look into it, but I remembered reading that. But this is, it's called Day One, so it's exactly what you'd expect. New York City, so kind of think of like I Am Legend. You can't have New York City in a disaster without seeing one of the borough bridges blow up, so we got that in the trailer. And I think it's Lupita Nyong'o is the star. And Krasinski is not directing, so he is not involved. Maybe he's producing, I'm not sure. But this was his baby. He directed the other two, if I'm not mistaken, or certainly the first one, starred in the first one. I like it. Monsters, you know, destroying humanity or whatever. That's where I live. I love that kind of stuff.
I've not seen the second one yet, but I really like the first one. You know, obviously the noise in New York City, not a good combination for these monsters.
Right.
I don't know if I needed this, but I mean, it's kind of like, do we need to see the bad thing that happened? Now that they, if you just do this, you'll stop them. Right. And so I don't know. I don't know. John, do you like this series?
I like the first movie. I never caught the second one.
Yeah. The second one is just after she gets up and leaves the house and they have another adventure without John Krasinski.
Yeah, but this...
Yeah,
this has a following, though, this movie, this genre, not seeming like there's too many of this in the summer.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I think the last time, I forget the second one that came out, I know it did pretty well, if I remember correctly.
I believe so, yeah. So they're,
I think it surprised us a little bit.
a little bit more of the same. All right, well, July 4th weekend, Todd, what do we got?
This is weird. Well, Horizon and American Saga, which
you said we were going to skip it. No, because
this one's an oddity, because I think this is going to be a big performer. This is Kevin Costner going back to the Old West. He is directing this saga that essentially is two parts, actually releasing a month apart, which is crazy. And it's basically the American Western Civil War era. And first time he's directed since 2003. And he actually wants to make two more movies following this. Essentially, he like bankrolled this, and part of his divorce proceedings apparently was part of the, right. the anger and that he and he, bankrolling it.
And he checked Yellowstone on it too, because he left that show. Dude, this was his passion
so project. So I think this will be big for a certain audience that shows up for these type of kind of not done any more movies for a different audience. So I think this will be huge.
I'm just not feeling it touching the quadrants. You know what I mean? It's not a Top Gun.
When I say huge, I mean like $200 million. Like Oppenheimer is not a fourth quadrant film. Nudity, adults, a lot of things. So you don't always need it for a big summer movie. Now you need something that's going to be $1 billion like Barbie, but I think this could be a big movie considering
this.
I'm guessing. Oh, go ahead, John.
I was saying this could be kind of like Dances with Wolves was with him. You know, Westerns kind of ebb and flow with success in the movies. And when Dances with Wolves came out, Westerns weren't a big thing. But after Dances with Wolves, we ended up getting, I think, Tombstone came after that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you kind of had, I forget there was a remake of a really good Western a few years ago. Skipping my mind. Yeah, True Grit.
True Grit, about 10 years
ago. But, you know, this with Kevin Costner, you know, Yellowstone's really big. You don't know. There might be something to it.
This is the perfect film for my father-in-law. And I think a lot of people's father-in-laws and fathers.
Yeah, my old man. Yeah.
That's most a huge demographic.
They should have put it out 2 weeks sooner for Father's Day weekend.
Right. Take your dad to see a grumpy old Western movie. Well, now I'm going to feel bad if this is a big hit, because I just thought other things would be bigger, but we'll see.
Okay, yeah, we're not gonna show our cards yet for our wager, but we're getting to what might be the biggest movie of the summer. Quite honestly, Despicable Me 4. It's the fourth entry. There'll be Minions, and Will Ferrell is back. He's a new enemy in this.
New nemesis.
It's a series I like. I don't love the Minion movies, but I do like the Despicable Me movies.
April put her foot down, and we did not go see the last Minion movie. She's like, I will not go see that.
No, the Minions are banned in my house. Logan hates them. He was subjected to too many Minion movies and showing of it when he was at, like, you know, day camp or whatever. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Ouch. All right. Well, so next,
don't forget the impact of the gentle Minions are going to come out in force again.
Oh God. That was hilarious.
What?
Yes.
I'm drawing a blank. What was that all about?
That was,
it's like Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
It was like, but with Minions and the Gentlemen.
Yeah. Like, just like,
oh God.
The big internet movement, Gen Z, social media, they'd all go in like suits and ties and be like gentle Minions. And they like flooded just the last Minions movie. You know, some of these have those kinds of movements where they get this social media, kind of gets this thing together.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
And inflates things.
My. All right. Well, we have everybody's favorite. He's Todd's favorite. I think this is Todd's guy crush. Glenn Powell is in Twisters on July 19th.
Same crush. Yeah, Chad Redwell.
Who's Glenn Powell? I don't know who that is. I know Chad Redwell.
There you go. Chad Redwell. Let's just make it easy for people.
Radwell's Hollywood name, John.
There you go. This is a legacy sequel from a film called Twister from 1996. So we're talking about almost 30 years gone by. And it does not appear to have any of the original stars, but it's the concept of idiots running after a tornado. But that movie was a big hit, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, that was kind of a big deal in the summer where we had Independence Day and, you know, other big movies filled with explosions. What else was a big movie in 96? Independence Day is one, I think.
The Rock.
The Rock. Oh, there you go. So, yeah. Air Force. That was Air Force One, was the next summer, 97.
Yeah, I mean, no one's seen Helen Hunt, so she probably got sucked up by another Twister.
She's gone. And Bill Paxton is actually dead, so that's his excuse.
So, and then that cow, is there going to be two cows in this movie? Because you need two cows?
I think it's going to be the grandkids of the original cows. They're following.
There you go. Yeah. They're coming back for revenge.
Yeah.
They're cows bent on revenge against nature.
It's revenge.
Jaws 3, where it was like the shark was actually stalking the inhabitants.
That's the big twist here for Twisters is, you know.
The twist upon the twister. So anyway, all right. Well, We shall say, I'm sure we'll end up seeing it, but it sounds...
I could care less about... I didn't care about the first movie. I could care less about this one.
Oh, my God.
I know some people like it. I don't know.
I don't know. We'll see how many people like it. All right. Big event. Todd, yeah. This one's yours.
Deadpool and Wolverine, July 26th. We're actually going to... we did talk about the newest trailer in the news section, and this is where we're actually talking about how this is going to perform. This is going to be interesting because this is going to be an R-rated superhero film. Deadpool is really the last one we got, Deadpool 2,
right.
Unless there was another R-rated superhero film in the MCU, not pulling any punches. This will be interesting, but it's only got essentially 5 weeks of runtime, so this could have a long legs, just not for our summer movie season. So
yes.
I think this will be huge, obviously, but
that will be interesting. Yeah. And I'm not remembering the specific story of why it's releasing so late. Did something else got bumped out because of the strike? Maybe like there was supposed to be another film maybe earlier in the summer or it was supposed to be earlier in the summer. I can't remember.
Yeah. It seems like there's a big gap and Disney doesn't have another movie.
And so, yeah,
earlier
this summer, do they? Yeah. Because the Inside Out, Inside Out, Pixar is them.
But June 14th, though, this could have been mid-July, early July, because, you know.
Yeah, it's not like
those toddlers are going to see Deadpool and Wolverine.
No, there'll still be some lady who says, it's a superhero movie, right? So I'll take my five-year-old.
Stabby.
Oh, my God, stabby. Well, we're getting a real honest-to-God horror film vibe. Not that the other ones haven't been so much. In a new Alien film, Alien Romulus, not taking place where the airport is in Detroit. So that would be fantastic.
That would.
Oh, my God.
Now I'd be interested if it was actually in Romulus, Michigan, in the airport.
Oh, there you go. Oh, my God. It's in the Delta terminal. Watch out. Never fly Delta. No one can hear you scream. Rumored to be set between Alien and Aliens, it's more of the same. It's a bunch of hapless space colonizers that come face to face with Xenomorph and like, why is this happening? Yes, it's more of the same, but I love that shit. You know, I mean, I even sat through all the Alien Predator movies. It's fun. It's monsters. It's good stuff. So they are saying this one is tilting back more towards the practical effects. Fede Alvarez is the director. Apparently, he's a maestro of horror. I'm not thinking of another film he made, Todd. Anything?
Evil Dead. He did
that. Oh, yeah. The newer ones.
I have not seen it because I've heard it's pretty horrific. This could be. I don't think this will make a huge mark, but I think this is the right direction for Alien, especially it's floundered. It hasn't had a direction that's made sense. So I think this will be, could be the big August movie that could bring in a crowd, but you know, it might be a little bit too late with only like really 2 weeks to really make an impact.
We'll see.
Movie that's not on this list that actually is that could be a surprise is Borderlands movie that's coming out August 9th. So it has like 3 weeks to make an impact. There, it's a video game series, has a built-in audience there. Eli Roth is directing it. It's got some big name actors and actresses, which is just crazy.
Yeah, it does seem kind of crazy.
I don't know.
My worry about that one is I believe that movie's been done and like sitting on the shelf for a couple of years, which isn't usually a good sign. And for our wager, I know it comes out so late. It would have to do really well right out of the gate.
Right.
But the cast looks interesting.
I think so.
I mean, they've got some award-winning actors in there, and Kevin Hart.
There's people, and then there's Kevin Hart.
I think Jack Black's in it too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. As a robot. I mean, all right. So
Galadriel, John, come for Galadriel.
Oh my gosh. Good God. All right. Are we doing this thing? Are we going
to
start?
All right. So we're at that point now where we are going to talk about the summer movie wager rules and the guidance, and we will give our picks going from our dark horse all the way through our top pick. And we'll do a round robin from the bottom to the top. And essentially the rules of the game are you don't have to pick how the specific performance of a movie. You have to just figure out the box office of that film during the window of May 1st through Labor Day weekend. in order of box office performance. So basically, how much money they make, that's number one. The one that makes the least goes to number 10. Obviously, there's more movies than that. And then the Dark Horse is just essentially, if that movie appears anywhere in the top 10, you get points for that. There's points scored basis how they come in order. Basically, how but basically accuracy is important. If you're close, it's like horseshoes, you get some points, but if you're far off, you don't get as many points.
We used to do like three Dark Horses. I almost wish that we could go back to that rule, but that's okay.
Too much. It's too much. Too sexy.
It's too sexy, Jerry. Oh, all right. Well,
and the reason why Zora's here, my little friend.
Oh, yes. Oh, sorry, please.
He is the prize that gets sent to the winner's house from the other winner. I had never won it before. Last year was my first time. So he's very comfortable here. So he may be sticking around with me.
And I won't, for the sake of time, tell the tale of Shizor, but you already know it, faithful listeners. You already know it.
I think it's, check out at least 50 episodes of Secret Friends Unite and you'll hear that tale.
You will hear of the tale of Shizor. All right, well, I'll get it started with my Dark Horse. And I realized that I had two things typed in here, so I because I meant to change it, but I did. The one that I'm actually going to go with is Borderlands at my Dark Horse. Because I thought it was that or Garfield. And I thought every time I was talking to someone with them, she's like, really, Garfield? I'm like, some people are saying it's going to be a hit. But, you know, Fallout's big right now. Everybody's loving on that. This has kind of that vibe with the big cast. I think that's a possibility. We'll see.
All right, John, your Dark Horse.
I considered Borderlands also for the Dark Horse, but I just don't like its release window as to where our contest cuts off. So I am going with the Horizon Chapter 1.
At least you didn't put it any higher. I would have really felt bad. Because I didn't. I didn't choose it, but I did go.
Well, don't feel too bad. I mean, remember who has owned Shizor the most often of us.
Yes.
So, you know, you might be the one missing the boat on Horizon.
We'll see. All right. Incumbent with defending champion. What do you got?
I'm going Garfield just because it's so early, and there will not have been a kids film in quite some time. So, and this one's animated. It's not like the live action Bill Murray ones. If you remember,
who's the voice of Garfield?
It's Chris.
It's the guy who's always the voice of everything.
The Chris Pratt. Chris, he's everything. Chris. Oh my God.
Okay.
Pick a Chris. All right. Number 10 for me is the Fall Guy. And it danced up and down my marks. But again, you know, yes, Ryan Reynolds is hot, but there's other things in the summer.
Ryan Reynolds?
A lot hotter. Isn't that what? No, the other guy, Gosling. Now we got too many Ryans, too many Chris's. So yeah, we'll see how, and it's early. So even if it's moderately successful, it could still end up placing. So we'll see.
Yeah. John. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I think that might be a little too low for Fall Guy. I think, based off of, you're going to get a little bit, I think, of some Ryan Gosling, Barbie heat, bringing him in.
Lift love.
You know, he's Knuff to make Fall Guy go a little higher.
Well, I sure was wrong about Indiana Jones.
Well, we all were wrong about Indiana Jones.
It's the Barbenheimer reunion, too.
Yeah, well, the weekend this year is Gar Furosa, I think it is.
Yes!
So for my number 10, I did do the Garfield movie.
No.
Nice.
I said, I don't know. I was thinking like you did, Todd, as well. You kind of know based on the opening weekend where that's going to fall or not, you know.
Yeah.
But it could sneak in there. I mean, when I was going through this, I really felt like we had really 8 or 9 almost slam dunks as to who's going to finish here. And
yeah,
who's to say Garfield couldn't do it? You know, I don't know. You know,
now you're making me doubt it. I feel bad. But like I said, yeah, that was dancing on my Dark Horse.
Don't doubt it too bad. It's at 10. So it's like,
yeah,
I don't know. It's one of about 5 movies that might make about $90 million or something.
All right, champion, what do you got?
I have If. Once again, it's getting has a long time to make some money. I don't think it's going to be, you know, do hugely well, but I think it's got Ryan Reynolds once again.
Bigly.
It's film, so I think that'll be in my number 10.
Gotcha. Well, franchise fair. I think my number nine is Aliens Romulus. Because again, yes, it's R-rated, but yeah, it's later in the summer as well. So that could end up hurting it. And again, R-rated is somewhat niche, but it's for guys like us because we like it. So we'll see. We'll see what plays out.
Like Spies Like Us.
Spies Like Us.
Spies Like Us, yes. Oh, not Chevy Chase.
For my number nine, I am going to go with Twisters, which is the hardest one for me to place, I felt like, this year.
Twisters!
I can't tell. If it'll be a lot of interest or if there'll be no interest. It'll do well enough, I think, to make the top 10, but I thought it could range anywhere from 5 to 9. I wasn't sure. It's a mystery.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll do Maverick type numbers for a 30-year sequel, but you know.
With even though Chad Radwell,
none of the characters back.
Even though he's in it, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, what you got?
Okay. Champ. I have Horizon at number 9. I think it's going to find an audience because I think a lot of folks are just tired of essentially the sequels, the sci-fi, the superheroes, the kids' movies, and they want something a little different.
I mean, you say that, and that's what all the rest of the movies are. And I think they'll all do, and even you think they'll all do better. So I don't know. You just don't know. You just don't know what people are going to go. I mean, you had a bunch of heritage stuff last summer that just fell right off the map. So,
well, I'm actually glad I've got someone on Team Horizon with me.
Oh boy, now I feel. Like I said, one of the analysts I was watching a few weeks ago was all about it, but I was like, nah. So I could end up, that could be the egg on my face. I might not be able to see the horizon, and I might just fall right off the cliff.
I guarantee this year there'll be a movie that, like, each of us will have missed. Like,
yeah.
I don't think any of us will, but I think everybody will have a big miss this summer. Yeah.
You better live. All right. Well, moving on to number 8, I picked Twisters. I'm right there with John. This is a total wild card. There's equal opportunities for it to be moderately successful or a complete zero. So that's why that one landed there for me.
Yeah. And for my number 8, I went with the Fall Guy.
Hmm. Right.
And that's,
I went with Twisters, and I'm hoping they have the Weird Al song.
That exactly. I was it Twisters with a Z? Did I spell it wrong? I feel like
I think it's Twista.
Twista and Twista by MB. All right.
All the shot.
Number 7.
I should have been or not.
Sorry. Oh my God. My number 7, and again, this is where things are just real murky, man, is Furiosa. Again, we're almost 10 years out from the last one. I knew Taylor-Joy is pretty hot commodity. It's got lots of explosions and fire and scary stuff, and it has a Chris in it. I don't know. The distance of it made me, the distance of the last one, wondering if it's really going to click, made me not push it any higher than that.
My number 7 is also Furiosa.
Ooh, cool.
And it's the same, this whole group I've got from 4 to 7, like, I think they could all be interchangeable.
Right.
So it's hard to really make an argument for one over the other because it's, I think I'm going to assume we probably have a run on these, sequels coming up.
Right.
That are all just, it could go one way or the other. Like, is there fatigue for this one or is there not? Is this one surprisingly good? Is this one surprisingly bad?
Right.
I think Furiosa, I like Anya Taylor-Joy. I like Chris Hemsworth, but I just don't know if it will do better than a few of the other ones that are coming out.
True. But, all right, champ, what you got?
I've got King of the Planet of the Apes. I think this will be the 4th Apes film in like 6 years or something like that. I don't know. Maybe it's
longer. No, the first one was, I think, 2011. So roughly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, 4 and 13 years. That's still a lot.
That's a hell of a lot.
So I'm just thinking it might be fatigue specifically because, I mean, this is basically just getting back to where, the Heston era, we're going to have somebody show up in a spaceship and land and go, oh my God, I was wrong.
I'm Chuck Heston and the chick died. And blah, blah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I just think this might be the end of the road for this franchise. I could be wrong.
Yeah, we'll see. End of the road. Okay, what are we up to? 6? We're up to 6. Quiet Place, day 1. Again, monsters, boom. This is the other two films did well, though I will admit I didn't crunch the numbers. But New York City, things blowing up. I think people are going to be interested. I'm interested. Shit. I mean, it's the dumb fun that Todd craves. It's a thing. Bondo, the things that planes crave from Idiocracy. It's dumb fun. It's what Todd craves.
For six for me, I did the Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Kind of similar to what Todd was saying. You know, Planet of the Apes, Furiosa, I think they're going to kind of run about similar for what they are going to pull in. So I think those could be really close with their, you know, final take.
Yeah, I pushed that one higher, so I wonder how much I'm going to regret that. As much as Horizon. Oh, right into a wall. All right.
I picked Furiosa as my number six. I think it has been 10 years. I think this is built a following for these type of movies. So, and this is only the second one. So I think this is going to be do really well.
Right. Yeah. The second one under this current regime, though, they are, as I learned, listen, despite they are all kind of interstitially connected, but it's very weird.
It's been a long time since Thunderdome.
Yeah. There's no time because though this is actually the fifth one, technically, correct, if you look at it that way. So, all right. So number five for me, middle of the pack. Hope it doesn't disappoint. Bad Boys 4. Ride or Die. I don't know. Like I said, Will Smith is, people still think he's great. And Martin Lawrence the trailer was fun because he's, you know, oh, I'm on my heart medicine, but I got to stop and get some Skittles. And then they got to shoot a guy in a
Ride or Die.
Yeah.
Ride or Die.
Oh, we'll go with the diet. So we'll say, all right, Johnny.
I went with Quiet Place Day One for number five.
Oh, God. We're all dancing around like beep, beep, boop, boop.
John, I'll say Jinx, and I'll also say A Quiet Place, Day One.
All right, in the middle of the pack. All right. Well, I feel like I'm going to seriously regret the shit out of this, but my number four is Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. I don't know. You know, apes are funny. They get to the point they start throwing poo at each other. I think it's going to be a runaway smash. Yeah,
when they hit their cymbals together. And they ride a dog. It's hilarious.
Or they wear little hats.
Oh, that's what that you realize that was the downfall of civilization. We humiliated them long enough, and that's why they rose up.
Yeah, like that. The movie, the Shyamalan movie, where the evil ape that killed everybody. Yeah.
Oh yeah, in the Nope. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Weird. All right, what you got, John?
All right, my number four is Bad Boys Ride or Diet.
Oh, so you think it's going to do better than me?
I think numbers four through seven could all be interchangeable.
Right, exactly.
They're going to be close, I think.
I honestly think the winner is going to depend on the way those four movies end up falling.
Right.
And it's going to be kind of a lucky guess because you can make an argument for any one of those four to be higher than the other three.
Yeah, this could end up being, I mean, way tighter. And again, as you look at our spreadsheet, we've got them back going. If you look at historically, we've got these going back quite a far way. So, I mean, we were really very far apart last year, where this year we tend to be kind of bunched up. So, all right, what do you got there, champ?
Man, Jinx again, John. Bad Boys. Ride or Die. So you and I are going to be, you know, it's going to be fun.
Our only, we'll see how we have our top three, but it sounds like you and I are going to be fighting it out at the bottom. Like we need eight, nine, and 10 are our dark horse to like, decide how we finish.
I'm telling you guys, this is where we need another two dark horses. Could make things a little more competitive.
Well, we'll pick out. We have some other ways to do tiebreakers.
Yeah. All right. Yes, yes, yes. All right. So we got to number three. And again, these top three are all going to be flippity floppity. And there's some people that saying that my number two is going to be number one or whatever, but I went with Despicable Me 4 as my number three. Because again, yeah, heritage power of both this plus the Minions and people are crazy for it and blah, blah, blah. Like I said, I don't know if April will allow us to go see this one because the Minions was banned, but I don't know. May have to. We'll see what happens.
I went with Inside Out 2. Inside Out 2. I think the Despicables are going to beat out the Inside Outs.
Yes. Despicable Inside Out. Oh, reminds me of my ex-wife. Oh! What do you got, Todd?
Damn you, John. Jinx again.
Oh, you guys, oh, this is going to be brutal.
I hope our last two are a little bit different, my friend.
I mean, they probably won't be. That's what's tough. Yeah, Inside Out 2 is my number two, though I've seen some people say that it could take the top spot. So I don't know. But again, this was massively popular back in, what do we say, 2015? So it's but I think you're going to have the audience that saw that. You got a new group of kids coming up that have seen it on Disney Plus. I think it's going to be enormous. Yeah, I don't know. So, John, I know what your number two is because you kind of gave yourself away, and it's going to be Todd's as well. Maybe. Oh, you're right.
My number two is Deadpool and Wolverine.
Whoa!
Damn you, John!
Oh, no!
No! Oh, wow. I know I'm hedging it because obviously my number one is Deadpool. So yeah, I'm hedging it that in just over 30 days that it can conquer everything that's come before it. But the anticipation for this film to me is off the charts.
The thing is that Despicable Me's are traditionally underestimated. I'm going to say it like this, people like us, you know, we kind of buy into the Deadpool. We bought, you know, what was it? Love and Thunder. I know we rated super high. It's like, we kind of get drug in so far with, you know, what's in our wheelhouse, but the Despicable Me franchise is huge. The Gentle Minions are huge. This whole online social, I don't know if they're still doing it, but I wouldn't be surprised if you see a bunch of kids in the suits like you saw last year for Barbenheimer, you know.
Oh, Deadpool suit with the Despicable Me head, with the Minion head on it. What do you think?
Yeah, anyway, I went Deadpool Wolverine for number two.
All right.
Same for me. Yeah. I think if this movie was an R-rated, I think it would be number one, no doubt. Being R-rated does limit its audience.
Yeah. Or so they'd like you to think.
Cause true.
Still going. Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
Time for fake ID.
Oh, my gosh. Kids. Yeah. So that places your, I'm sorry, that places your number one at, I got all mixed up. Are you guys going with
Despicable Me 4?
Yep.
Yep. Charlie, you're going with Deadpool and Wolverine. So, yep. So John, just to make sure I got that right, are our top five picks the same?
I think our top five, I think we started the same, starting with Quiet Place.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, because I had six at Furious at six.
Yeah, and I had Planet of the Apes at six. So we were all different, Todd. I think 5 through 10, when we were totally different.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think I'm an early third coming in. I think it's going to come down.
Or both of us look silly.
Yeah, we had all different dark horses, so that's good.
Yeah.
And then basically our top five are very similar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, ours are very similar for sure, Todd.
I think 6 through 10 are a little wonkier. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Very interesting. Oh, my gosh. So it all begins. The first film is Fall Guy.
Next weekend, I think. May 3rd.
So it begins.
Outside of the Dark Horse, I mean, there really wasn't – there aren't like, you know, one of us did like two or three different movies that someone else didn't have all together. I know Charlie did Alien. But I did Garfield, but –
yeah, and Garfield, I was right on the line of picking that. If I would have had two dark horses, that it would have been there as well.
Well, if we did two other dark horses, if would have been one of them for me, because I was really debating that one as 10. Yeah. I just don't know it, you know.
Yeah.
And then that guy wasn't on my list at all, so that could be my downfall. Charlie, you didn't have a Horizon on yet. Could be your downfall. And John, did you have something that we had that you didn't?
Something that I had that you didn't?
Yeah.
Did you have If on your list?
I did not have If.
Okay. So that'd be your one that is not on our list.
Yeah. Especially if If comes in like at 10 or something like that. Because you get those bonus points at 10. Sometimes.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. 1 and 10, you do get the bonus points. Yeah. And
So I'm
riding with the Minions and Garfield for my bonus points.
Yeah, Garfield. Woo!
My God.
Says, good luck to you all, and may you all what was it? What's the thing from the Hunger Games?
Oh, may the odds be ever in your favor.
Yes.
Yes. All right. Well, that takes us out of the show. John, it was awesome to see you back. I know you don't social media, so we're not going to talk about that stuff.
See you soon, Shizor.
Yeah. See you next Tuesday or Wednesday, whatever that tagline is. Oh, my God. Todd, where do people find you out there?
They find me on Threads at Teoxtra, at Secret Friends Unite. And then check out our Discord. Also, check out our link tree as well with all of the good ways to catch us, including our email address that Charlie wants us to start using.
Yes, I say I want to reopen the mailbag. It's been a long time, but I would love to have some listeners write in, tell us things you're enjoying, and if it's not laced with profanity, there's a chance we might read it on the show. But you know what? I make no promises. But yeah, secretfriendsunite@gmail.com, drop us a line, and you may find yourself right on the program. Yeah, that was going to be my plug, but naturally Todd stole my thunder because that's what he likes to do. But I am also over on Threads and Instagram. I'm C3 Carpenter, just spell it out. But I spend a lot of my time on our Secret Friends Unite Discord, the coolest Discord in the whole wide world. Don't look it up. And but other than that, my lovely wife April and I do run 5 chapters of the International Star Trek Fan Club here in Michigan, and 3 over in, excuse me, I run those. April runs our chapter with me, and 3 over in Canada. We are collectively Region 13. If you are a Trekker and would like to meet Trekkers in your neighborhood, I'll give you another email address. It's rc13@sfi.org, or simply visit sfi.org to see if there's a chapter near you. But let me know if I can help you if you like the trekking. So with that, friends, as always, thank you for joining us. I'm going to tell you that sharing is caring, and to keep on trucking.
Be the hero, not the villain.
In a truck.
Trekkersonly.com.
This podcast is part of the Secret Friends Unite podcasting network. Visit secretfriendsunite.com for more great shows, articles, news, reviews, and more. Secret Friends Unite podcasts are available on Apple, Google, Spotify, and other podcast services around the world. If you'd like to be part of the conversation, you can join us on Facebook or our new Discord server, or follow at Secret Friends U on Twitter. Please subscribe to Secret Friends Unite on YouTube and visit our merch store at tpublic.com. Just search Secret Friends Unite. Thanks for listening.